With Chris Ronge, I'm Anthony Salters, the Fastlane on 101 ESPN. And like most of you, Ronge and I have been hooked to the MJ documentary. And you may have seen in the most recent episodes where they highlighted MJ's, dive into minor league baseball. You saw Mike Barnett. And Mike was the hitting coach for Birmingham when MJ went from the Bulls retirement to minor league baseball. And Mike joins us right now via the Brown and Crouppen celebrity line. Mike, thank you for joining us today. How you doing?
Good, Anthony, Chris. Great to talk to you guys.
So the question on everybody's mind, of course, is if MJ would have stuck with it, would he have eventually made it to Major League Baseball? You would know better than us because you were his hitting coach. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that he would have gotten to the big leagues because of the fact that, I don't know if he would have been a starter on a first division club, but I certainly think he could have been a fourth outfielder and been a major contributor because of a lot of the things that he could do. When you look at where he started, and I go back to the first days that Michael and I got together. In spring training, we had about, 5 or 6 days before we opened the season. And, I talked to him about the fact that, I've been watching at bats, here in spring training. I've talked to a lot of scouts, and the scouts are saying, hey, just throw him fastballs in, and he's way off the plate, diving in. He's just going to, his best ball will be a little dribbler down the third base line. And so I just presented it to Michael, and I said, I think if we can get you squared up in the box and working more straight ahead, I said, you're going to be able to get your hands to the baseball much easier. And it's going to be a shorter, quicker swing. And just after laying all that out, and I said, it's going to be up to you. I said, I know you've been working with Walt Reniac over the last 6 to 8 weeks, and if you want to stay with what you're doing, I said, I'm all for it. I said, I just wanted to throw it out there. And he said, that makes perfect sense. Let's get to work. And from that point on, one of the things that you judge a major league player, he's got to be able to hit the fastball. And people don't remember that in that start of that season, he had a 13-game hitting streak. And they were almost all on fastballs in. So that showed me that, yes, this guy can get to the fastball. Now, was he crushing baseballs? No. But he was getting base hits through the 5-6 hole, sneaking some doubles down the third base line past the third baseman. So, the next big hurdle then was every night I'm coaching first base. I'm going, when's it going to happen? And it did, and they started throwing him, nothing but breaking balls, and he didn't see a fastball in the zone for a month and a half. Well, then we had to really go to work on every day we hit off the breaking ball machine, and I would have it set on hanging breaking balls. And then I would set it up on some nastier ones too, and trying to get him to understand the ones he can take advantage of and the ones he's got to lay off of. And that transition that we did is normal in any minor league player that usually comes in. And it will take them sometimes a year and a half to 2 years to make that transition. He was starting to make that transition in about a month and a half period of time. When he started, his power was 20 on a 20 to 80 scale. So it was nothing. His best bolt was a routine fly ball to left. His arm was the same thing, was a 20 arm on a 20 to 80 scale. Not very good. By the time we got to August, he's hitting 10, 12 balls out of the ballpark every day at batting practice. He hit his 3 home runs in Birmingham, which was the third or fourth toughest park in minor league baseball to hit a home run in. And he hit 260 in August. Defensively, he was continuing to get better. But the biggest thing that I looked at that I just go, wow, the instincts that this guy had and the work ethic. Him being the NBA Defensive Player of the Year for so many years, he took so much pride in learning players' tendencies. Well, now he was putting that into practice on the base paths and learning how to steal bases, and he was picking up tendencies on pitchers. When he does this, he's definitely going to the plate. He does this, he's throwing over. He started understanding release times and when he could run and when he couldn't run, and ended up stealing 30 bases. So you look at a guy, and just his passion for defense, he was going to get a lot better in the outfield. And you take that and you go, okay, he's 30 years old. he could have contributed because the bat was definitely coming. He probably needed another 1,500 at-bats to polish things up. But what he could probably do defensively and what he could do for you on the bases as a fourth outfielder, you would obviously pick his spots for the right matchups. I could see him definitely being a contributor to a major league club, probably as a fourth outfielder.
I believe it was Bill Melton I heard in an interview talking about him. Melton, for people who don't know, a third baseman for several years with the Sox, played for Cleveland for a while too. And he worked with him on hitting for a short period of time. And one of the things he said was, if Michael had been 17, he would have gotten drafted on his athleticism alone, that would have gotten him in the door with an organization, that it wasn't just, hey, he's Michael, so give him an opportunity, that there was enough athleticism, raw athleticism, that as a baseball player you could work with.
Without a doubt. And, you know, I've made the comparison that I think had he gone the baseball route as a position player out of high school instead of the basketball route. We all know the basketball route turned out pretty good. But with this guy's competitiveness, his work ethic, the type of teammate he was, I could see this guy really ending up, if he had gone the baseball route out of high school, ended up being another Dave Winfield. I mean, obviously, he would have had to reconfigure his body to more of a baseball-type player. And that was interesting because he started to do that when he was playing minor league baseball. And they also talked about that in the documentary, how now he had to go back that first year to getting back into a basketball body. But I could certainly, you know, see him, you know, he's certainly that type of athlete. And, you know, Dave Winfield, I was with him in New York, and I could actually see Michael Jordan being that type of player if he had continued and done baseball, for sure.
I think the other thing people are really interested in here, Mike, with MJ, is not whether or not he would have made it as a big leaguer, but obviously that's of interest. I think it's also, what in the world was it like to have arguably the biggest star on the planet? And if he wasn't the biggest, I mean, he's in the top couple. I mean, there were probably only a couple of other people that were bigger than he was at the moment around the world. And now here he is in with this minor league baseball team in a small town that barely had enough capacity to fit all the media. What was all of that like? And can you remember any specific instances where you're like, oh my God, this is unbelievable?
Well, you know, the thing about it was almost like a playoff atmosphere every night. I mean, you're playing whatever town you're in, it's a packed house. And just the interest in coming to see probably the greatest athlete of all time play another sport, the interest, the media following every day. It was, you know, I'd been in New York before, but it was really something to see day in and day out. But the big thing is, you know, that sticks back to me. I mean, you start dealing with that day in and day out, it becomes just kind of second nature, and you get more caught up in your little cocoon in the clubhouse and in the dugout and on the field. And you appreciate having that many fans and media there every night. But just to watch him, the biggest thing that he pushed every day was the fact that, hey, and to his teammates, I'm no different than you guys. I am just a double-A baseball player who's trying to get to the big leagues. And he carried himself that way. He asked a lot of questions. He would push his teammates if a guy didn't run a ball out. And I think you look at some of those things that he did, he was just a double-A baseball player who was a prospect trying to get there. But I think it taught a lot of our players a lot of good lessons, because if Tito would get on guys about not running a ball out, or you should have gone first to third on that, MJ would jump in and say, hey, you better listen, and that's what we need to do, and that's what you need to do.
But there was no berating like he apparently did in practice with his basketball teammates, huh? Nothing like that?
No, nothing like that. But still, he knew maybe he couldn't execute it in a baseball sense right away, but he still pushed guys to be the best that they could be. And I just think that, you know, I was talking to some people in Cleveland, and I said, you know, we had Mike Napoli in Cleveland in 2016. And for me, it's not so much what he did on the field, but it's what he did in the clubhouse and the way that he pushed his teammates and said, hey, you guys like finishing third? And you could see that same type of stuff always out of Michael. And he just pushed guys to get better. And there was no air, you know, talk about Air Jordan. There was no air about him as far as being a double-A baseball player. And he put himself and really went out of his way to make sure that he made guys feel that, hey, I'm just on the same level with you guys here. And let's just try to get better every day and win a baseball game tonight. And that was pretty much it.
Mike Barnett was MJ's hitting coach with Birmingham when MJ retired from basketball and was playing minor league baseball. And he joins us in the Fast Lane with Chris Ronji. I'm Anthony Stoltz here on 101 ESPN. Obviously, you're part of the documentary, Mike, but I'm sure you're watching it just like us as well. What do you find to be the most interesting aspect of the documentary, having worked with Michael for a season plus like you did?
Well, you know, I think, people look at it and go, boy, this guy was really a, you know, punching Steve Kerr, and this guy must have been a jerk. And, you know, I go back to that thing about, you know, and we talk about, Tito talks about it all the time, about being a good teammate. And being a good teammate is not always being a nice teammate. And I think what we're going to see probably towards the end of this in episodes 9 and 10, and a lot of players basically said, hey, you know, you didn't like practicing with this guy. You didn't like, and there was a lot of you didn't like, but they all liked winning. And to me, I think that's going to come out in the end, that he was a special guy, not only ability-wise, but the way he was able to push teammates and get them to the next level. Instead of just being a good team that made the playoffs, to go ahead and win a championship. And I think that just takes a special person, and it's got to be just an innate instinct. You've got to have it inside you. I don't think somebody can learn to be that way. They can certainly, you know, emulate or talk that way, but to actually watch him do it day in and day out, walk the walk and push guys in the right direction, that's the biggest thing that I probably take out of all this.
I would imagine, Mike, that it would be intimidating when you found out that he was coming. What was that like?
You know, and like I said, that first, you know, our spring training in the my major league and the minor leagues, we were all together. We shared the same cage, everything like that. So, I mean, I'd see Michael in the cage in the morning, you know, working with Walt, and we'd walk past each other and say hello. So when we found out that he was coming to us, I really didn't know what his personality was. He was very serious in the cage and everything of that nature. So, yeah, you're a little apprehensive. What's he going to be like? When he said, let's get to work, when I talked about those changes, and then to see him really go after it the way that he did, he puts you at ease. And he made it easy to coach him. He really did. And to see behind the scenes, I think he always comes off as kind of, when you see him dealing with the media or people, almost a little bit standoffish to a degree. But then when you saw him behind the scenes, this guy was, he loved to have fun. He loved to laugh. He loved to cut up and get on guys and things of that nature. So, it was a little bit, you know, a little bit of nervousness. I'm not afraid to admit that. But then you find out that the way this guy is, and he puts you at ease, and it was an easy transition, believe me. It really was. And it was because of him.
Mike, it was a pleasure chatting with you today. Thank you for your insights from your time with Michael Jordan. I'm sure you're getting a lot of requests like this, but we greatly appreciate you coming on today.
Anthony, Chris, I sure appreciate it. Thank you.